QAnon is now the most prolific online conspiracy theory of the 21st century. None of their predictions came true, Q has vanished, and the storm never came. But QAnon is still alive. I'm Jake Hanrahan, and this is Series 2 of Q Clearance, a podcast shedding light on the ongoing QAnon conspiracy theory. This is a production of Coup d'Etat Media and iHeartRadio. Today is the final episode of Q Clearance. And with that, I want to try and recap on everything we've learned to better understand where QAnon might be headed now. So first, I want to focus on December of this year, the upcoming December in a few months. If Q doesn't return before then, that will be a full 12 months without a Q drop. This is something I keep coming back to because I think it's actually quite a big signifier of how QAnon has mutated. They don't even have a leader telling them what to do now, but they're still moving forward. Now, one thing I was quite wrong about in the last series was that I suspected the QAnon movement would begin to crumble rapidly once Q stopped posting the drops. I thought without their leader, the followers would all start dropping like flies. Whilst this was initially true to some degree at the beginning, the collapse of the original QAnon routine has actually, in the long term, led to a strengthened resurgence in the movement, in what I think can be best described now as QAnon 2.0. That is the new iteration of QAnon. Now, with this new iteration, I think one thing is very clear after looking into it for a while. Out of sight does not mean out of mind when it comes to QAnon. Just because the movement was chased off of mainstream social media and because it vanished from the news, doesn't mean its followers disappeared. Sure, plenty of them did throw in the towel and they eventually realized they'd been tricked. However, what remained was the most hardcore of the hardcore. And if the Telegram channels are anything to go by, you're still talking hundreds of thousands of people. This, in my opinion, is where QAnon truly becomes its most dangerous, when it mutated from a ridiculous conspiracy-based internet movement to something more akin to a decentralized extremist cult. That's how I would personally label QAnon 2.0 if I had to simplify it. Now, there is a lot more to it. We know we've explored this with Q Clearance. But again, to put a bow on it, it is basically a gigantic conspiracy theory cult. Things have gotten a lot darker too. With the evolution of QAnon 2.0 has come a new accepted extremism within the movement that was previously taboo to acknowledge out loud within QAnon circles. Yes, many of the theories QAnon is built upon borrow heavily from anti-Semitic conspiracies. Yes, there's deep undertones of racism in the QAnon rhetoric at times. But the original form of QAnon at least pretended to shun racism and anti-Semitism. I'm not saying that's a good thing, it's just the way it was. Now though, within QAnon 2.0, there is a split, and within the factions that has created, racism and outright neo-Nazism is often accepted and even promoted. If you subscribe to the right QAnon Telegram channels, you can basically view each QAnon offshoot in real time. It's clear that whilst it's growing stronger in some ways, the movement has shattered into different webs of ideology, all under the same insane QAnon umbrella. It seems that without Q, without Trump, where we go one, we go all, is now just words. There is no real unity amongst the QAnons now. There are different camps of thought within the movement. You have QAnons now who subscribe to the ideas of Ghost Ezra. He is a QAnon neo-Nazi that's been slowly plying his followers with Hitler wasn't such a bad guy bullshit for a while now. He's also on the wackiest end of the conspiracy spectrum, floating ideas of reptilians and body doubles. His channel has over 300,000 subscribers. Then there's the QAnons who subscribe to the more conventional QAnon ideas of praying medic. He's one of the original QAnon personalities. Him and his followers are still pushing the idea that Trump is secretly in control. Praying medic thinks Q will come back and take over, blah, blah, blah. He's also trying his hardest to call out the racist Nazi QAnon camps that have emerged. Ironically enough, this has him throwing water on some of the most out there conspiracy theories that were actually once part of the original user-generated QAnon canon. Recently, for example, he wrote the following, which looks to be a shot taken at Ghost Ezra's camp. Quote, "Why do they push fantastic claims? Certain accounts on social media share unbelievable claims with their followers. There appears to be a single overarching reason why they do it. These accounts often post legitimate news and information on current events for a period of time. But then they'll suddenly share something out of the norm, like the idea that Hitler wasn't really such a bad guy, or that James Comey or Hillary Clinton have been secretly executed. If I were to tell you the moon was made of cheese, you may not believe me. But I could respond, prove that it isn't made of cheese. To prove conclusively that the moon is not made of cheese, we would have to go there in person and inspect the surface of the moon. That isn't possible." Right, anyway, end quote. It goes on like that. As you can see there, Praying Medic is basically calling out other QAnon groups who are becoming more extreme and spreading even more fantastic conspiracy theories. Imagine that. Some of the QAnon conspiracy theories in the new movement are even too radical, too out there for the originators of QAnon. It's kind of ironic when you think about it. Anyway, Praying Medic, despite being a startup QAnon influencer from day one, actually has less than half as many subscribers as Ghost Ezra, with just over 110,000. Then, moving on, there's the QAnon spirituality camp that believe the half-baked and completely failed predictions of Q are actually some sort of prophecies from a different dimension. I swear to God, this is what they believe. These lot mostly congregate on a channel called 5D Full Disclosure. They only have 30,000 subscribers, but what they lack in membership, they make up for in complete and total madness, trust me. Then around all of this, there's the more conventional, hardcore conservative conspiracy types that latch on to Mike Flynn and Lynn Wood, the latter of which seems to be mostly these days posting about God and how his QAnon mania has wrecked his family. It's all quite pathetic, to be honest. Still, Lynn Wood has nearly 900,000 subscribers. He clearly has a lot of clout in the QAnon community still. There are other camps outside of these as well, but generally, they all have some variations of these ideas. So now, not only is QAnon in some kind of shadow war against the deep state, or at least they think they are, they're also at war with each other. Whilst these varying degrees of delusion sound funny to speak about, and I know I've been kind of laughing whilst looking into it, we must always remind ourselves that several people have already died as a direct influence of the frenzied madness that is QAnon. Actually, it's not a game and it's not funny. One of the saddest examples of death by QAnon is, of course, Ashley Babbitt. Ashley Babbitt was shot dead during the January 6th Capitol building riot by a police officer as she tried to climb a ledge whilst breaching a smashed-in security door. Ashley Babbitt laid there, bleeding on the ground, with a Make America Great Again flag draped around her shoulders.
Now it is up to Congress to confront this egregious assault on our democracy. And after this, we're going to walk down, and I'll be there with you.
And I'll be there with you.
We're going to walk down. We're going to walk down to the Capitol. And we're going to cheer on are brave senators and congressmen and women, and we're probably not going to be cheering so much for some of them, because you'll never take back our country with weakness. You have to show strength and you have to be strong.
Ashley Babbitt later died in hospital. She was just 35 years old. Babbitt was a true believer in QAnon. Despite this, whilst many initially saw her as a martyr, her status was quickly cast down when QAnons claimed her death was in fact a false flag event designed to make them look bad. Babbitt was an Air Force veteran who served in Iraq. QAnons took this and ran with it, deciding she was in fact working for the cabal of pedophiles and deep state actors that they believe they're fighting against. Ironically enough, even after effectively dying for the cause of QAnon, Ashley Babbitt was turned into part of the evil conspiracy she believed in. In total, five people lost their lives in the midst of the January 6th Capitol building riot, which, as we've already established, was massively connected to QAnon. Brian Sicknick, a member of the Capitol Police Force, died after being beaten by protesters and sprayed with mace. He was 42 years old. Kevin Greeson, a former Obama supporter turned MAGA loyalist, died of a heart attack as protesters became more rowdy. It's believed he was on the phone to his wife as it happened. He was 55. Roseanne Boyland, a hardcore QAnon believer, was crushed to death as other MAGA rioters tried to fight through a police line. She was just 34 years old. Ben Phillips, a big-time Trump loyalist who believed in some of the conspiracy theories of QAnon, died of a stroke after attending the riot. En route, he told the media he believed it was the first day of the rest of our lives for the movement. He was 50. Now, some people have pointed out that the majority of people who lost their lives during the January 6th Capitol building riot were QAnon or MAGA loyalists, and that it doesn't matter. It does matter. Forget your political affiliations and pearl clutching for a moment, and consider that these were all real people with lives, aspirations, and families. Sadly, for whatever reasons, they weren't wise enough to realize how unbelievably stupid QAnon is. They were manipulated, roped in, and tricked by a bunch of sociopathic internet goons from 8chan. Online, lots of people still think that's funny, but ultimately, people are now dead due to a fake prediction that sprung up on an image board in October 2017. From that to this, QAnon is not a partisan issue. As we've discussed, it's mutated into something much more extreme that can affect everyone. The wreckage it leaves in its wake is felt all across the political spectrum. Now, I'm not saying QAnon is the next terror movement. I don't think calling January 6th rioters insurgents makes any sense. And I'm also not saying more QAnon violence is a definite. However, I do think that it's worth paying attention to the way it's evolved, and it should most definitely not be ignored just because it's no longer trending. So what can you do to help stop people falling into the trap of QAnon 2.0? Honestly, I'm not even sure anymore. I'm sorry I don't have a better answer for you, but that's where it is. In the last series, we asked this question when QAnon was coming to the end of its first phase. Now though, without its leader, it's built autonomous cells with different ideas. That's much harder to tackle. What we can do is focus on the biggest issue currently. I think that is the fact fascist groups have purposely targeted QAnon channels as a means to infiltrate and convert already wide-eyed conspiracy nuts that are there. If Ghost Ezra's mountain support base is anything to go by, they're clearly quite successful. Now, I've seen these Nazi supporters toying with QAnon supporters in real time on Telegram. They don't steam in with swastikas and gas chambers at first. What they're often doing is taking on the role of a QAnon adherent and asking more and more extreme questions, linking everything back to racist myths and anti-Semitism. They engage with the QAnons and turn up a slow boil until Hitler was right becomes an accepted point of view. Their methods are clever and very fucked up. I don't know how to stop someone believing in hateful political ideas, but I do know stopping those spreading them helps. I would say at this point, if people really want to help stop the spread of QAnon, they need to get active. That doesn't mean publishing a 50-tweet thread on why someone somewhere did something bad. It doesn't mean laughing in the face of QAnons. It doesn't mean shouting at them, screaming at them. What getting active could mean is participating in the many online investigations currently taking place to unmask the neo-Nazis infiltrating QAnon circles. Perhaps if you've got time, have a listen back to the series, listen to the guests, and think, how could you help? Maybe reach out to a few of them. I'm sure they'd appreciate the help. As of now, QAnon remains a burning wildfire of hate, conspiracy theory, and cult-like manipulation. As it stands, QAnon is yet to die out. Logic, common sense, the fall of Trump, and online deplatforming hasn't killed it. Unfortunately, I think QAnon will be around in some form for years to come. All we can do to combat it is stay one step ahead by trying to understand it. This has been Q Clearance. Thank you for listening. Q Clearance is brought to you by iHeartRadio and Coup d'Etat Media. I'm Jake Hanrahan. You can find me online at Jake_Hanrahan. That's HANRAHAN. You can get Q Clearance merch at darkwash.net. This episode was produced by myself, with fact-checking and additional research by Sarah Hightower. The music is by Sam Black, and the sound was mixed by Thomas Griffin at Splicing Block.